So in our Bible reading today, we hear Jesus take that everyday picture of a shepherd collecting his sheep to communicate to his people his calling as the Son of God. Jesus says, as we've been dwelling upon, I am the Good Shepherd. And so to understand what Jesus is saying, we need to know what a good shepherd looks like in the context that Jesus speaks. I know that we have some farmers in the church family of St. Lawrence. But do we have any Middle Eastern shepherds? No. So let's create the scene. The sun is setting, and all the shepherds come in from the surrounding pastures with their sheep, and they all put their sheep into a communal pen, and a watchman sits across the gate to make sure that they're all safe through the night. If you kind of picture it as a sort of dry stone wall, kind of big circle, one very narrow gate, and the watchman is sat across it. If you think about it, it's basically an economy of scale thing. It's like a giant sheep creche. One person is the watchman so that everyone else can have a good night's sleep. But then what happens in the morning? Surely it's a bit of a nightmare. They've all mixed in, they're all in together. Surely all the shepherds have to pile into the pen and grab their different coloured flocks, and they've all got their crooks trying to grab their sheep while the other shepherds are trying to get their sheep. And it's just this heaving mass of white things with coloured bottoms, and they're trying to get their sheep out. Surely that's not actually very helpful. Well, actually, it's not like that. First thing we need to know is that in a Middle Eastern context, the sheep don't suffer the indignity of having coloured spots or letters stuck on their bottoms. They treat their sheep with more respect in the Middle East. The sheep don't have to be hoiked out. The watchman just opens the gate, and the shepherd calls his sheep by name, and they obligingly come out because they recognize his voice. That's the scene that Jesus has in mind. That's the scene that our Bible reading presents to us. And that's different, isn't it? I guess in our minds we have a very European picture. In our mind, we have that picture of sort of one man and his dog, where the shepherd drives the sheep. He's behind them, pushing them forward. The dogs are sort of bossing them about. Or maybe there's a quad bike. It's gone more high tech, hasn't it? But in a Middle Eastern setting, the sheep follow the shepherd. They follow him. They're each named. He knows them by name, he recognises them, and they follow him. That's slightly different, isn't it? The picture that we now have. As Psalm 23 reminds us, the shepherd leads. I bet many of you can recite it from memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. Not drives. He leads me. The sheep follow. The sheep respond to the shepherd's voice. It's a completely different picture. Jesus going ahead rather than pushing us from behind. It's frightening, unnerving, uncomfortable to be the one at the front, exposed, vulnerable, being pushed forward by others. You don't know if there's wolves or bears. You don't know what's around the corner, and you're being driven forward. Let alone that picture of sort of dogs yapping at us behind us. We're moving forward out of sort of instinctive, deep, primeval fear. But that's not the picture that Jesus wants us to have in our minds. That's not what a good shepherd does, as Jesus is speaking. Rather, Jesus is asking you to step out into the big bad world, knowing that actually he's ahead of you, that he leads instead of drives. Instead of being alone, you're in company. You're following. Actually, you're in more danger if you fall behind than if you follow. Because if you're following the shepherd up close, you're safe. It's actually drifting back where you're more vulnerable. I believe that the key to the Christian walk is to know the voice of Jesus and to follow him. And in one sense, I could stop there. It's not rocket science, is it? It's been said before by many, and it'll be said again. But it's undeniably true. Knowing the shepherd's voice, knowing the voice of Jesus, is key to our individual walks. And it's the key to our shared walk as the church family of St. Lawrence. We need to listen. We need to hear. We need to follow. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus calls us? Isn't it wonderful to know that he knows us by name? There are billions of disciples in his flock. There are millions of church families in his flock. And yet he knows you, and he knows me, and he knows little old St. Lawrence in Biddulph by name. By name. Jesus says in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. The key for us today at St. Lawrence and going forward is to hear that personal call. The key to our future is to hear Jesus' voice and to follow where he goes and to do and follow what he says. It's essential for us at St. Lawrence that we listen carefully and that we respond. Because there's a troubling question, isn't there? How can we say we are his disciples? How can we say we are his followers if we don't listen and we don't follow? Jesus says, my sheep, my followers, my disciples know my voice and they follow me. Jesus says, my flock, St. Lawrence, my church, know my voice and they follow me. So here are a few questions for us personally and for us corporately as a church family. One, do we know and recognise the voice of Jesus? Two, getting practical, how do we as a church listen? How do we gather together to pray in small groups or in friendship groups or in home groups, whatever it looks like? Even as a congregation, how do we listen? How do we hear? And personally, how do you listen for the voice of Jesus in the noise of this life? There are as many shapes and as many rhythms and as many ways as there are people. I can remember I nearly killed my mum with my GCSE revision, because she was just convinced that I needed to be quiet and to be focused. And I just couldn't work unless I had the radio on blaring in the background. And she could just not understand this, and I could not convey this. By A-levels, she realised it was just doing more for her life expectancy than it was benefiting my study. Some of us need noise, some of us need quiet, some of us need to be together. Doesn't matter what the shape is, but how do we put listening as an integral part of our daily walk. The sobering answer to that question is, if we don't listen, we'll miss out on what Jesus has for us. We'll get left behind. We'll be trailing. We'll be directionless. We actually will be vulnerable, because Jesus is going ahead of us and we've wandered off. The whole parable of the lost sheep. The encouragement is that he knows us by name. The parable of the lost sheep again, that he will come looking for us. He will seek us out. He will keep calling until we respond. Then Jesus continues in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I'd just like us to dwell on that for a moment. I've read that so many times and its full wonder hasn't hit me as it did in preparing for this sermon. The expectation is that we as his sheep, as Jesus' followers, should know Jesus as personally, as intimately, as he knows the Father. Have you pictured that before? That we, the expectation, the opportunity for us is to know Jesus as intimately as he knows the Father. And that's not for the super spiritual, holier than thou, exceptional Christians. That's for all of us. Any disciple of Jesus, every disciple of Jesus should be aspiring, should be seeking to know Jesus as intimately as he knows the Father. As evangelical Christians, we get very excited about talking about personal faith. Personal faith. You need to own it. You need to make a decision for yourself, particularly in terms of conversion. We talk about personal forgiveness, about a personal decision. We talk about a personal relationship. But often that drifts away in the day-to-day. And we adopt a spirituality of sort of settling for less. A spirituality that says, try and know your Bible a bit. Be nice and polite. Muck in where you can at church. Do some charitable things. Work hard. Acquire some stuff. Buy some more stuff. Attend church on a Sunday unless you have a better offer. And job's a good one. You tick the box. Jesus calls us to a far more satisfying and radical life. Jesus calls us to radical intimacy, to dependency, to radical discipleship. It's Psalm 23 again, isn't it? It's total dependence on Jesus for our entire well-being, our direction of travel, our identity, and our worth. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. In John's Gospel again, he said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're called to follow and to listen. You can't follow if you won't listen. And then there's a final twist. Verse 16, I have other sheep than not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. What is Jesus getting at here? Well, he's speaking to the Pharisees who have slipped into kind of thinking that they're a closed shop. As far as they were concerned, they were God's people. Pull up the drawbridge. I'm all right, Jack. That's that. They were called to be a light to the nations, a missionary people, and yet they become closed. As individuals, as a church, if we lose track of our evangelistic purpose, we will perish. If we become settled, if we become closed in here, we're vulnerable. Jesus says there are other sheep. There are new faces to join our flock. In Biddulph, there are 20,000 people that we are called to welcome into the flock, that we are called to go out to in service, to go out to share the gospel. So you've got a new vicar. He looks a bit young. He seems nice enough. Is that fair? Ish? He's been here 7 months. He's beginning to find his feet. So what's the vision? Some keen people say. What's he going to change? Some nervous people say. Take us back to the good old days, some say. Things have got to change, others say. What do I say? With a huge sigh of relief, I say it's not about me. It's about him. It's about Jesus. And forgive me if I get a bit of emotion in my voice, but it's about him. Yes, I'm called to lead, but first I'm called to follow. Yes, I'm called to direct, to encourage, to lead, to serve. But it's about Jesus, not me. It's about us, not me or them. It's about we, not I. I believe that as individuals, as a church family, we need to return to the foundational starting point of listening, of praying, not just to ask, but to hear. What should we do as a church? Well, this is the latest flavour of the month. That's not hearing. That's not following. Well, they're doing this down the road. We should copy them. That's not hearing. That's not following. Well, we've done this for the last 30 years. That's not hearing. That's not following. I really like this. Actually, that's not hearing. That's not following. Jesus calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice.